Good morning, everyone. Today is the 16th of January. It's about 14 minutes before the hour. We are going to have a fellowship call this morning. At least that's the plan. I just wanted to let everyone know I sent you a link out, and you might want to put that in your box somewhere, so you'll have that link. Also, we're going to be having a Bible study this evening at 8 o'clock with Tom Adams, as far as I know. We're ready for the third chapter of John. And then Monday night, I'm going to be starting a Bible study at 6 o'clock. I'm going through the book of Mark. Tuesday, we have the Adeola Hour. That begins at in the afternoon at I believe it's 2 o'clock my time, and then Tuesday evening we have a Bible study with Dewan. We're working through the book of Ephesians. Wednesday night we have a fellowship call at 7:30, and Thursday, we have a broadcast with Walt Stickle on the Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy, Book 1. And so we have a pretty busy schedule. So we will be starting in about in a few minutes the fellowship call.
You know, it's not a popular view, but before the Reformation, that's what caused the Inquisition. I mean, you had to bow to Rome, or you went to the rack. And you know, I'll have to admit, this book, you know, this book I put together years ago, about 10 years ago now, you know, if I didn't write the book, I took it from another author, because the author wrote another book. It was his most popular book, and he wrote a book refuting this whole book. Because most of the source of this book comes out of Islam, the two Babylons, and here. And I find this kind of interesting. I'll stop at this. The very organization, and what Larry said, the beast does not allow freedom of conscience. And the beast is Rome. It's the system. It's the culture. It's not one man. It's not just Francis. I mean, this beast system is huge. It's conquered all the evangelical churches. They all want to, you know, they're all pro-vaccine. And the biggest influencer, and who's behind the world agenda today? Like global warming. You know, I listened to this one documentary, you know, about global warming, you know, the liberal view. It's absolutely insane. What, you know, they're out in California right now. They've outlawed chainsaws and lawnmowers. You know, I mean, So there's a part of me that I want to crawl under a rock when you read this book. This tells you the mechanics. This tells you what the beast believes in, and it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite of the gospel, the complete opposite. And yet it's a dominant force in our country. We have. You know, 28 Jesuit universities, and when you turn on George, turn the switch on, he'll give you all the he'll stick on Rome, because Rome is. But the point, the thing I want to bring to, isn't it amazing that the beast is considered Christianity?
I'll tell you what really I'll tell you what really amazes me. Dewan made a statement earlier on and just blew me away. I never thought about it, Dewan, but he made a statement that, and correct me if I'm misstating how you stated it, but you said you really didn't know any grace churches that had the right cosmology. Now that is, if you think about that, that is.
You just find me one, Larry, just one in the whole world that does that. I don't know a single one.
Wow. Now I do. I know a pastor in Joplin, Missouri, of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, Michael Smith, and he is strong on biblical cosmology. I mean, it's only a church of five, his family, it's a house church. But I would say that's the only ones I know of as little remnants of their meeting in their homes. But as far as, and why is that, Juan? Why is it that, you know, there are certain things like cosmology, election and predestination, including double predestination. In other words, reprobation. A lot of people talk about election. But when you start talking about Jacob and Esau, then they're on God loved, you know, Esau less than he loved Jacob. In other words, they start changing it. Also, on this issue of the cosmology is directly tied to so many other lies. Like, for an example, NASA and the moon landing and Mars and all of that. So my question is, you know, do we just continue operating as we are underground, basically? We're an underground fellowship. I mean, even though we let people know we're worshiping. I've had, in the last 6 months, I've had more people leave than stay, okay? Because when they find out what we truly believe, they don't stick around, okay?
Praise Lord for that. That's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good thing because you don't want to not to offend.
Right, right. So I guess my question is, you know, do we continue to... You know,
Larry,
I've had a lot of people say I shouldn't even broadcast. I should not put this on out in the public arena. What do you think?
I think you should not listen to that.
Larry?
Yes.
Sorry, I took myself off the broadcast because I hit the wrong button. Sorry about that. So I had to figure out how to get back on. So.
I got you.
You mind if I answer your question?
No, please do.
Or at least attempt to do so. Well, this has been my experience for the last, say, 5 or 6 years. In that, most people who call themselves Christians, Bible-believing Christians, evangelical, Protestant, whatever label you want to use, most will have no qualms with the younger. The earth is about 6,000 years old or so. When you talk about geocentricity versus heliocentricity, some people say, yeah, okay, I'll buy that. But that's a minority view. But when you start bringing up flat earth, sorry, into discussion, you're obviously a tinfoil hat wearer. And you probably, you know, question the official narrative on 9/11. Sorry, that has simply been my experience. In that people just can handle so much of the truth, in that we've been lied to about almost everything. So that includes cosmology. Because, you know, I'm 52, God willing, I'm going to be turning 53 next month. And I think I've said this before. So I was born in 1969. So the signature event of that year was the Apollo 11 moon landing on July the 20th, or rather the alleged moon landing. And I'm not sure how many hundreds of millions of people watched that on television throughout the world. But that actually made me, since they saw the alleged moon landing, it had to be real. Space had to be real. Space travel had to be real. I was just talking to Walt last weekend because I had just recently watched the 1978 film Capricorn 1. And for those who have not seen it, with some caveats, I would recommend it. It has some language issues, particularly blasphemous, but if you could overlook that, it's not a bad film. Because it was a partial admission by the Jesuits about what happened in 1969. Because according to, it was a Jordan Maxwell, he said, the Jesuits use Hollywood to let you know what they have done, what they are doing, and what they're going to do. And so it's really hard to, when people are set in their ways, it's really hard to disabuse them of their views. And as I was also discussing with Walt recently, because he and I will usually talk at least once a week, and it seems that in recent years, the new flat earth is the whole train versus germ theory. I won't elaborate going to time constraints, but that is the vehicle the whore has used in the last couple of years to justify all this unbridled, unfettered tyranny to which we've all have been subjected. That there is such a thing as a virus. There's such an IE. There's such a thing as this airborne contagious pathogen that is hiding underneath every rock and behind every tree and is just waiting to sneak up on you and tap you on the shoulder and take you out. Oh, okay. thank you.
You know, I want to make one other comment. Mandiola and Larry were talking about C.S. Lewis. Remember, it's Christ who gives us the freedom of conscience. It's a gift. The fact that there's six of us here, And when it comes to the pandemic, when it comes to 9/11, when it comes to the moonshot, I mean, it's not our intellect, you know. I'm not the smartest, brightest bulb in band in Oregon, Anyway, greetings, John from Canada, But I think this freedom of conscience that Adeola brought up is, but remember, like I said, who gave us the freedom of conscience?
You.
It's not our conscience, it's Christ's conscience. I seen this video. Would Christ take the jab? I mean, that's kind of that's blasphemy.
According to Franklin Graham, he would have. According to Franklin Graham, and according to First Baptist Church of Dallas, Pastor Jeffers, he would have. Sometime we should have John give his personal testimony from up in Canada. Right. John came out of the Roman Catholic Church, and I have had an opportunity to talk with John on a personal level. And when you come out of a system, it gives you a whole different understanding of what you've come out of and now what you're embracing. It's like, can you imagine Martin Luther had been a Roman Catholic priest for years and years, and all of a sudden he goes into Rome and he sees all the absolute debauchery, and he comes back and he posts his 95 theses. Now, I don't endorse everything that Martin Luther says, but I will say this. I believe that God used Martin Luther. I believe God used John Calvin. I believe he used Tyndale to bring the Word of God into the language. So I think what we have to do is we have to realize that right now our position has to be one that, you know, and a lot of people take me wrong when I say we have to have a balanced view. I don't mean that we should compromise. That's not what I'm saying. Okay, what I'm saying is if you look on sermon audio, how many messages I've done on election and predestination, more doctrinal messages on election and predestination than any other thing I talk about. Okay, that being said though, are we just never to ever say anything about this evil? Are we just to hold our head in the sand and say, well, we just rest in Christ? I mean, we, you know, God has finished the work, and so therefore, you know, I believe that there are certain people, now this, I'm going out on the limb on this, okay, so you can chop my head off later, okay? But there are certain people, I believe, that God is yet calling out of sin and showing them they're his elect. Until the end, it says that, in other words, there's a scripture that talks about that all, in other words, we can't add to the bride of Christ or separate from the bride of Christ. That's a fixed number. But how these people come into the fold is another way. I mean, I was engulfed in New Age metaphysics until I was 36 years old. Okay? Go ahead, Adiola.
Okay, but what I was trying to say is, did Jesus Christ ever compromise anything that his Father gave him to do when he was on earth?
No. And I'm not in any way touting compromise, if that's where...
Yeah, like, all I'm saying is that we should, like, bear our heads, and we just... You had mentioned that we should bear our heads in the hands. Well, Jesus Christ never bared the heads in his hands. Look at every person in God's Word from beginning to end. They never bared their heads in the sand. They basically thumbed their noses and basically said, look, this is wrong. If you don't like it, it's not my problem. I'm telling you the truth. It's the reprobate mind that basically had a massive problem with it. Like, depending on at each corner in Earth's history. So, like, today, when we talk about Bible cosmology, man, I had an argument. I mean, the moment you say you're geocentric and don't believe in what the propaganda says, I mean, it's like you get a hail of bullets. Just to say the word geocentric, don't even talk about God's word. Look, I'm the geocentric and I don't buy in front of me. Boom, you're attacked. Just to show you the level of brainwashing that we've been, and I was guilty of it too. That we've been indoctrinated. Even when, like, Walt and I had conversations about the earth, and with me having an engineering background, I was able to see more analytically as well as scripturally. And I remember saying to Walt, I said, Walt, understand water. Understand hydrology. If I looked downhill, I was like hammering him on this. Because once you understood the book of Ecclesiastes, both like the water evaporates, condensation, it rains, and the water flows down into a river like this, then I sort of clicked. It's like every engineering video like this, and then I went right to the flood. I read it. I just shut. I put my opinion out of it, and I read it for what it is. The flood could not have worked on a ball. It is a personal impossibility. The flood cannot work on me. I looked at it. Like it was a giant bathtub, basically. I mean, in a nutshell, I said, well, the flood couldn't have worked on a ball. So a polar bear said, look, just water flows downhill, period.
Well, and also Carl Roberts, you know, he used to say a lot, you can't land on light.
Yeah.
You know, all of these concepts that we're talking about is in total whether we subscribe and believe the Bible or not. That's in a nutshell. Or do we believe it? It's like the first time, I've shared this before, but the first time I read, and I know people get tired of me, they say I get on a, you know, I repeat myself too much. I'm too redundant. But every time I get, you know, the first time I read the ninth chapter of Romans, I told my wife, I said, you know what? I either have to believe this or I have to reject all of the Bible. I cannot just piece and parcel. I said, if the Apostle Paul is teaching here that God hated a person before he was born, not having done any good or evil, that's what he taught. And I said, if I don't subscribe to that, then I'm just going to throw the Bible in the trash and just live out my life. However, the problem is, as an elect child of God, I couldn't do it. That's the whole thing about God's elect. There's certain things we can't do, like license homosexuals, like taking the jab, like, you know, committing acts of sodomy, whatever. There's certain things God's elect cannot do, at least in finality. Maybe before they're saved, they might have participated in a lot of those things. Okay, and I'm not saying that even a saved person cannot fall, but in finality, according to Jude, he will keep us from falling and present us spotless. And the only way he's going to present us spotless is through the imputed righteousness of Christ. So, but that's what Juan is talking about. The Juan is talking about here is that we either believe the Bible or we don't. If we don't believe the Bible, throw it in the trash. You know,
God is not divided. You know, like either believe
that's right.
Or you don't. Before I ever even opened my Bible, for some reason I thought the people for the church they actually understood the cosmology. So when I first read it, I thought, oh great, I'm gonna go there and they're in church and why didn't they tell me that before? And then I realized, hang on, nobody believes. You know, like it's just a random person here and there. Yeah, it comes from the same beast. Same beast created cosmology, idiosyncrasy, and evolution, and everything else. It's one beast, you know, fourth beast. There's four beasts in the Bible.
Yeah.
And the fourth beast just keeps morphing, you know, and expanding and changing.
You know, I have yet to meet.
But it's the same beast.
I have yet, just like you said, you know very few people that subscribe to geocentrism. That are grace people. I know very few people that subscribe to the 45th chapter of Isaiah that are, I don't know, I can count them on one hand, the people that believe the 45th chapter of Isaiah because they change it and they say it doesn't mean that. It's talking about catastrophes. It's not talking, you know, when Jerry Maurer was alive, I was talking to him about evil, the origin of evil. Isaiah 45, it says, I create light, I create darkness, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. And Jerry said, well, if God, you know, because people always say, well, you can't make God the author of sin, right? You can't make God the author of sin. Well, here's the thing. Here's what Jerry said. Jerry said, if God didn't authorize it, who did? If God didn't authorize the devil, who did? If God didn't authorize...
He's not the sovereign God.
That's right.
He didn't authorize it. I mean, read this. I mean, all these wicked people, they were already appointed to this before.
Amen.
You know, of that 2 Peter 2:8. You know, like, we're also... They were appointed.
Yes.
For Jude 1:4. You know, before old, they were ordained to this condemnation.
That's right.
You know, and... If you are wicked for the day of the evil for himself. Proverbs 16:4. You know, so it says it. So you either believe it or you don't believe it, and you call God a liar.
Or you say something like this. Like, I've had many, many people tell me, Dewan, over the years, I could, even if what you're saying is true, they'll say to me, even what, if what you're saying is true, I could never worship a God like that.
Yeah, I've had that. Yeah. You know, they call God a devil.
Yes. A tyrant.
And that's, but the problem is these people are natural people. They have not been given a spirit of God. Because natural man cannot understand the things of spirit of God. Paul tells you that clearly. You know, you either have the spirit and you think spiritually because you're a spiritual man, or you're a natural man and you understand things of man, which are most of the people.
Yeah,
but only some people have a spirit.
And that is the point which you highlighted right there. Because that is the exact point you highlighted. Natural man in its sin, it is impossible to understand the spiritual things of God. That point you made up, it is this, the essential point. If you're seriously, looking at God from a strictly humanistic point of view and a very simple point of view, it is impossible understand the word of God. I don't care.
It's impossible.
It is.
You cannot persuade anybody.
Yeah,
you cannot. You can plant. You can, you know, put a seed in, but God give it the increase. Unless God give it the increase, nothing's going to work. You know, you can plant as many seeds as you want. Go around, try to persuade people. It's a waste of time on some people. Unless God decides, he's going to give it the increase.
Well, and that gets back to the reality of original sin. I mean, you know, either if when Adam fell, you know, all these people out here proclaiming that we were born in the image of God, we were made in the image of God, they're forgetting one very important thing. At the fall, the image died. Okay, in other words, when he said to Adam, in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. It happened. And it wasn't just the physical death of Adam and Eve. It was the spiritual death. That's why in Ephesians it says you're dead in your trespasses and sin. How can a dead person do anything spiritual? Have you ever thought about the fact that actually Michael Smith's the one that came up with this. He says there's no such thing as spiritual death. He said, that's an oxymoron in terms. You can't be spiritual and dead. Okay, and so what happened in John 3, by the way, that's where we're going to be tonight, Tom Adams and I, we're going to be in John 3. What happened in John 3 when Christ is talking to Nicodemus? He says, the Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. You must be born again. If you're not born again, you can't believe, you can't have faith, you can't accept Christ, you can't trust in Christ, you can't do squat. Okay.
And it's impossible to explain, but it is what it is.
Right.
So that's what the Bible says. And you know it on yourself. You believe it. So
it's just like when they were talking to C.S. Lewis about substitution. You know? One of the things you can really nail Roman Catholics on is they ask them about substitution. Because, see, their substitution is in the cookie. Their substitution is taking the mass. Their substitution is drinking that wine, turning it into, their substitution is cannibalism, basically. But when they started talking to C.S. Lewis about substitution, he denied substitution. He denied the atonement of Christ. He had denied that Jesus Christ's blood was effectual for all for whom he died for. You know, it's like I was talking to John the other day about John Owen. You know, John Owen said there's only three possibilities. Jesus Christ died for the sins of all men. Jesus Christ died for the sins of some men. Or Jesus didn't die for anybody, okay? And according to Christ himself, He told the Pharisees, you're of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. And so, you know, that's this all of this whole discussion is whether we believe the Bible or not, whether it's cosmology, whether it's, you know, whether it's believing in the atonement of Christ that's effectual for all for whom he died, whether it's that Christ is actually going to return in like manner as he left. That's what the angel said. That's what they said. He's going to return as he, as you see him go, he's going to return in like manner. Whatever it is, if people start trying to explain it away, then I run away from them, you know. So anyway, I'm pretty well through ranting. I get on a kick. Does anybody else have anything to say?
Can I say something?
Yes.
I just wanted to say, there seems to be a lot of people lying to us, especially about cosmology and our educational system. And I just want to say to Walt, I just visited your website, and I'm really impressed by your website. So I look forward to... And did you write that book, The Jesuit Conspiracy?
No, that actually is kind of a story. I mean, there's book one and a book two.
Yeah, I just downloaded them both, so I look forward to reading them.
Yeah, well, actually, it was kind of my research. It was kind of my notes, you know. And I came about it because of Ronald Cook. He wrote a little pamphlet, a little 60-page pamphlet on it, and he wrote it in 1985. This was, and so when I got interested in it, it was in 2015. And in 2015, the Jesuit Pope came to Washington, D.C. and spoke at a joint session of Congress. And so I had read Tupper Saucy, I had read P.D. Stewart, I had listened to Chris Pinto, and all these men, these other authors, they never were in a room comparing notes, but everything they said complimented each other. They complimented each other, see? Because America, we're living in Babylon, and I'm not saying that the United States is the beast, but if I had to guess, I would just say it was the United Nations.
Yeah.
You know, and who's got a seat? Who's got a seat in the United Nations? The Pope. Pope's got a seat in it. You know, he's even got an embassy there, there in Washington, D.C. I mean, this country, and you know, I was even thinking about Larry, you know, because Larry, we want to do a broadcast, you know, and I'm more prone to listen to a Bible study. I study instead of talking about the beast, because when I realize, you know, I've mentioned this to Larry, and the Roman Catholic system, the Vatican, you know, the world gives it a freebie. It's Christian. It's just as Christian as Billy Graham.
And by the way, that's why John Calvin and Luther and Tyndale and all the reformers, John Knox, all of them, called the Pope the Antichrist. And by the way, all of those, the aforementioned people also were geocentric. Isn't that interesting? They came against Copernicus. They called him out. Calvin called the this new doctrine, this new thing, cosmology, he said, is lunacy, is what Calvin called it, lunacy. So they were in agreement of this. All of the reformers came against this heliocentrism. And so we have some uniformity amongst us, brethren. Okay, we're in some pretty good company, I think.
Yeah. John.
Yeah. Oh, the other one?
Yeah, no, you. I suggest you read the book to get further highlights of what Walt is talking about. F. Tupper Saucy, Rules of Evil.
Can you say that again?
F. Tupper Saucy, Rules of Evil. You can download it. You can download it off the internet.
Rulers of Evil?
Yeah. That'll actually give you a high, and that'll give you a real good basis on how the United States is Civil War.
Yeah.
Because once you read that book, you'll never vote in a U.S. election again.
Also, the first two chapters, the two most important chapters in that book is the first one is Subliminal Rome, and he uses the sources from the 1992 Almanac. And you know, I always say to people, if you just read the first chapter, if you can refute the first chapter, forget about the rest of the book. But that Tupper Saucy, I got two chapters in there, you know. And then P.D. Stewart, I got the whole chapter 31, and the title of the chapter is How America Became a Jesuit Enclave. You know, and if you can refute that, I mean, there's no other country that's got 28 Jesuit universities.
And in Canada, to highlight what Walt's book saying, there's a book called The Tragedy of Quebec. How Protestant farmers were expelled from Quebec. But in that book, it explains how the Jesuits basically took over basically this country called Canada. And how they expelled the French Huguenots, French Protestants, and how they used Stainville de Champlain to do it. The way like we venerate George Washington, as an example, is the way Stainville de Champlain is here. So I mean here, I'm just saying up here, I see it all the time up here. Like Stainville, it's huge.
Yeah, Adiola.
Yeah.
I just downloaded that book, Rulers of Evil. I just found it, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, John had a really great, and you all may know about it. I didn't know about this, but John is the one that shared this to me. PDF.com. Is that right, John?
PDFdrive.com.
PDFdrive.com.
Okay.
And basically, I guess it's got an unlimited amount of PDF books out there that you can get. PDFdrive.com. I'm going to have to go there and check that out.
From what it looks like, it's not so much a database. It's more like it searches the internet for books for you.
Okay.
And somehow I believe it's legal because they have all these free books. I haven't been sued yet, so.
Okay. Far be it that we participate in anything illegal, right? All right. Well, listen, guys, we've been going. I'm just checking my little off. Now, I will tell you that the first part of our broadcast was so intense that I forgot to turn my recorder on. I mean, we were into some pretty heavy stuff there, and so I've only been recording 36 minutes. So the last 36 minutes we've got on board. So please don't tell everybody. Larry cut this out because he didn't want to deal with doctrine. No, I was so intense I forgot to turn the recorder on. It's one of the mounts too. So,
when it comes to document to doctrine too, you know that when I read the doctrines of Roman Catholicism, and I've read this book. I put it together. I actually put all the pictures. I took a book written by another man. But when he refuted the whole book, I mean, you know, the questions came up immediately. You know, because this is the way Rome does. Rome, that book has been taken off out of print.
See, that just blows my mind. You know, I've written 5 books, and I know how much goes into writing a book. And a man wrote intensely all of this research and then refutes everything that he said. Now, you don't think that I think that somebody got to him? Okay. I mean, you know, I can't imagine. I'm not going to mention any names, but I've had a person come to me and try to get me to alter my books. I've had people come to me and try to get me to alter the covers of my books. I've had people come to me and try to argue with me about certain things I wrote in my books. Yeah, do you think this hard-headed Irishman would do that? It's not because of my hard-headedness. It's because of my conscience not allowing me to. If I write something down, I'm going to stake my life on it. You know? And so, when Walt talks about this guy, I mean, I read his reputation of his book. It blows my mind because he was so clear about what was going on with the Jesuits and the Roman Catholic Church, and then he does about face on everything. You know, and you know what? I don't know. The thought even crossed my mind, you know, would people be this evil? I mean, think about the Jesuit oath. Think about the Jesuit oath. They'll go into Protestants' faith. They'll go into Baptists' faith. They'll go into every faith and preach the doctrine of these people. Okay? And then they'll do an about face on it later on. Okay? I mean, do you realize there are certain people, and I think you guys will know who I'm talking about, that are in the flat earth movement, they're the furthest thing from Christians, okay? They're the furthest thing from Christians. They don't believe anyway. Go ahead, Walt. I get going sometimes.
Well, you know, it's like this. I have to share this with you. Though I know the history of the book and we published the book and everything, but I tell you, I know how I want to say this. And I'll say this to John, you know, when you understand who founded America and you understand the real history of America, you know, it amplifies God's word.
And there's a whole group of people out there, John, like Barton, David Barton, and American Center for Law and Justice, and so many others, you know, that are proclaiming liberty, you know, and they will tell you that anyone who comes against the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence is a liberal. Well, I guess that makes me a liberal. Okay, because I come against the Constitution. And the reason they're saying that is because a lot of the people on the other side, Black Lives Matter, the left and all of that, have come against, you know, I'm glad they took Thomas Jefferson's statue down. Now, you heard me say that. Now, I know I'll get in all kind of trouble for saying that. I'm glad they took all of these graven images down. Francis Mannion, who was the chief counsel on the American Center for, who wrote the foreword in my book, went around all over the country getting these Ten Commandments put up in front of the Capitol building. This is, you know, I'm not against the Ten Commandments, but I'm against graven images. Okay, and the thing of it is, you got Tim Wildman, president of American Family Radio, and he's spending thousands of dollars on ads right now, and it's called the Heritage Tour. You ought to hear his advertisement. I mean, you talk about blasphemy. He says, you've got to come on our Heritage Tour. We're going to the key points of the American founding of this nation. We're going to discover George Washington's faith, Thomas Jefferson's faith, and then Walt comes 2,000 miles to Pineville, gets on my broadcast and says George Washington was a Roman Catholic. You don't think we haven't got some flack? Okay, we've gotten some flack.
You know, when I said that, after I said it, I said, "Well, you know, you just can't spill the beans. You know, you just can't spill the beans." I mean, there isn't, like Washington D.C. There isn't a city that has more idolatry in it than Washington D.C.
Eric John Phelps, in his book Vatican Assassin, says that George Washington was a Baptist Christian.
Right. And Walt, you know, he's just a retired truck driver. Maybe he hit too many bumps driving the truck. I mean, we have been pounded with so many lies, and the lie of the founding of America is just as big a lie as going to the moon. When you stop and think about it, they actually told us that they went to the moon, and then they forgot that the technology, they lost the technology.
You know, Thomas Jefferson.
Walt's slow, you know. I'm a little bit slow. I'm getting up at 77. And, you know, I'm not hitting an all four just perfect yet.
Here, Thomas Jefferson. Thomas
Jefferson. We're missing out, okay?
Thomas Jefferson almost beat one of his slaves to death. Okay? Almost beat him to death. And then has the gall to pin all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Give me a break. You know, inalienable rights. And then you got Alan Keyes, who ran for president of the United States, a Roman Catholic. I went and saw him. And he gets up and says, all of our rights come from God. You know, and Alan Keyes, if you hear this, I'm going to tell you this. You're Roman Catholic. You bought into the Council of Trent, the free will of man. And let me tell you, Alan Keyes, man has no rights. God's the only one that has rights. Now, for God's elect, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But we don't deserve it. That's God's grace. That's mercy and grace. You're going to say that God owes you something? God doesn't owe his creatures anything. He's independent of his creatures anyway. Wow.
Hello. Hello, John. Hey, John, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how's everything?
Real good. We have two Johns with us, John. We have John Sheo from Indianapolis, and we have John from Canada. So.
Yeah. Lafayette, Indiana.
Yeah, and Larry, just put your quirk in this. You're still pretty cool, okay?
Well, sometimes I get a little hot under the car. You know, it's called righteous indignation. You know, when you stop and think about, like you said, I bought into this hook, line, and sinker. You know, I was, you know what I'm saying? It was only by the grace of God that he brought me out of this mess, out of the mess that he brought me out of. That's it.
That's true. Hey, John Sile, I took the Lockwood program at the local college here. You went out with the one class that I failed?
What's that?
I took the Lockwood program at my local college. The one class that I failed was psychology.
Was it because you didn't agree with what they taught you and you didn't want to?
I mean, fortunately, I was able to get a replacement credit for that and I was able to graduate. But the moment I started reading this stuff, I said, I couldn't sit there and say, like, how can they understand this? I said, this was an introductory university class in psychology. And I'm sitting there, couldn't put my head around it.
Yeah, I'm actually majoring in psychology in addiction, so I want to help people with drug abuse and...
Don't get me started on addictions. Ironically, about two years later, I helped a university student in her sociology, her first year or second year sociology. I was a tutor for her. Don't ask me why. I've never taken before, but she asked me to tutor. So I said, okay, you pay me for it? So I figured at one point I was considering taking psychology. Now, the moment I started receiving the material, I said, holy cow, man. I couldn't believe the theory in this. I shook my head. After the semester, this is crazy.
Addie Olin would call me up after he had one of his tutoring sessions, okay? Mm. And he'd say, Larry, you majored in psychology? Larry, how did you handle this? I can't even handle one class. Okay? And I said, I said, think about it. I had to take classes like transpersonal psychology. The first night the professor's talking about one of the requirements in the class is you had to experience an out-of-body experience, you know. And then he started talking about, and then I had to take a class. By the way, I abhor education now, this kind of education. I abhor it. I had to go public and say, don't ever ask to see my degree. You won't find it. Okay? I will not display it. I'm not proud of this. Okay? Human sexuality. You know, why is our society now proclaiming genderlessness? Genderlessness. I have no gender. I have no, you know, I proclaim I don't have any genitalia. Okay? I'm not male. I'm not female. I mean, I saw a deal the other day of a woman, and she actually married a tree.
Weird.
She had a wedding with a tree. Okay? And now they're having weddings with every imaginable thing. And I'm sure they're going to have weddings with snakes. Yep. And I think that's why Walter wanted to make sure that snake was on the front of that book.
Yeah, you know, I kept saying this to Larry over and over, and after a while I said, you know, eventually he's going to get tired of this, you know, settle down, Walt. But I would say, Larry, do you realize why your dad didn't come to your graduation? I'd ask that to Larry over and over. You understand why your dad didn't come to your graduation?
I sure do.
Yeah.
And by the way, that gets down to the subject of creation. You know, I mean, and Walt has shared this, but I mean, my nephew goes to my dad. He went to Mid-America Nazarene University, a Christian university, tongue in cheek. Okay. And tells my dad, you've got it all wrong, Grandpa. You've got it all wrong. You know, I believe in creation, but it was over millions and millions of years, Grandpa. You've got it all wrong. My dad calls me on the phone after this, and he says, Larry, he goes, what would you do if you were the grandpa, you love your nephew, and he comes in and starts lecturing you about how you got it all, the six-day literal creation, all wrong? How would you respond? I said, I'd lose it. He goes, I said, how did you respond? He said, I said to him, Todd, I think you got your facts wrong. You know, I go by the Bible. Okay? And that's all I can tell you, Todd, is I think you got your facts wrong. You know. But, you know, that's just where our society is. Billions and billions of years, you know. Expanding universe. Microbiology. I heard a guy the other day saying, we can prove the evolution because of the virus. The virus is expanding. So this proves Darwinian evolution.
Because that's what they're practicing. They're practicing paganism.
Yeah.
So all the lies come from the same beast.
Yep.
Well, I gotta let you go, guys.
I think we have spoke our piece today. I want to give a special thanks to John for joining us today. John, hopefully you can join us again. I know your schedule's tough. John Shaho. So.
Kind of confusing with two Johns. Sorry to the other John for the confusion. But I enjoyed this. This was really enlightening, and you guys gave me some reading homework, and I'll have to read both those books. So.
All right. All right. Well, you all have a good afternoon. And by the way, Dawn, I'll see you on Tuesday night, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. See you later. Bye.